I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real, so let's be perfect.
Perfect!
What up? Welcome to Perfect Mode. And first off, let me start by telling y'all that we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be anywhere sharing our thoughts, hopefully, and helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why I can unapologetically say that without, I know this and you have to know this, is because I know that you are one of one, numero uno, and you cannot be duplicated, replicated. And the only reason you would think that you're not perfect is if you're looking at this person on the side of you and saying, I'm not them, but you are you, and that's all you need. It's yours truly, Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor, and I have my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher, and we're about to get on here and talking about thinking that you woke, but you still tired. Thinking that you, what up, Jay, man?
What up? Happy day. Happy Easter to all the people that celebrate Easter. Yeah, it's a beautiful Sunday, a perfect Sunday, perfect day to just be perfect and be yourself and experience the perfection of all things and all people in all circumstances, even this one, always this one. And yeah, man, I'm feeling good.
So before we get into, so number one, when I first saw this topic, I know you know what came to my mind, because as soon as I got on today, I kept saying these things over and over again. And I know that it has a correlation because of the messages that we always try to give. But in reality, just to kind of bring everybody in, Jay has a song where he speaks the truth. And these are truth or words that came out of the song. And the beauty of it is one of my favorite, like, this is one of my favorite lines of all. The line precede, or I guess is after, and this line are like two of my favorite lines of all times.
Yeah.
But getting into that, I want you to tell everybody about the song before we get all the way into the topic and where you got there. And while you're doing that, I'm about to bust a move for 1 second.
Okay, cool. So first off, I want to say shout out to our Patreons. Shout out to Jeff. The link to our Patreon is in the description of this video. So yeah, if you're feeling this, want to show us some love, click on that, subscribe, show some love to your boys. Also, you know, each and every day. Oh, quick shout out to Him Lau. What up? And so every week we do a 24-hour fast. It's a cleansing, a reset. It's a just a way to just shake off stuff that shouldn't be there, the stuff that we're holding on to, a way to let go. And so join that as well. You're welcome to do that. Water only. And what's today's date? We actually got the 3 days coming up too in it's a couple weeks. We still got time. So yeah, but back to the topic at hand, which is thinking that you woke, but you still tired. Want God to take the wheel, but you still drive. With your half full glasses, are you still blind? Yeah, you look good, but do you feel fine? Yeah. So the idea of this is, it's about being woke. And, you know, a lot of people claim to be woke. A lot of people want to wake up other people. They want to wake up the masses, but they themselves are still tired. And so it begs the question, are they really woke? What is woke? Should we be woke? Can anybody be woke? And quick shout out to Loretta. Loretta is the one who brought this topic to my attention. She thought it would definitely be a good one. I appreciate that. Him Lau, he said, love the rap. Yeah. And so, yeah, I wanted to really get into this topic of just wokeness, because it's one of those things that everybody talks about. I want to bring up, but before we fully get into it in this topic of wokeness, I want to get into, I think it was Dr. Sabi. He talked about how, like, you know how when you're at a sleepover or something and you happen to just wake up first, and when you wake up first, what happens? You want to wake everybody else up. But when you wake them up, what then happens? People get mad. They're like, why are you waking me up so early? It's like, I'm supposed to be asleep right now. I want to keep sleeping. Why are you waking me up? And so this is just to bring that side of it too, that maybe everybody isn't meant to be woken up at the same time, or maybe we're meant to all awaken on our own. But go ahead, Troy. What's happening?
Yeah, man. So, of course, you know, I didn't get to hear everything that you said, but I know the sentiment of it, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you the first thing. So, number one, I was up all night, man. And I was actually exploring this entire thought process of being woke.
Yeah.
And just looking at myself and, number one, realizing for me specifically that I can be woke in specific areas and not all.
So real quick, what does being woke mean to you?
What being woke means to me is being in can, this is, it's finna sound crazy because, again, let go, right?
Yeah.
But it's also, for me, is being in understanding that I can, I'm in control of what it really looks like, if that even makes sense to you. And I can change the dynamic of, and I hate to point out specific things, but I can change the dynamic of any situation if I just let go to it. Does that make sense?
Kind of. When you said to what it really looks like, what is it in the what it really looks like?
So, right. That's a part of the control. Okay. Realizing that I can make it look like whatever I want it to look like. Instead of it being predefined.
Gotcha.
You get what I'm saying? Like, the picture has been painted for me.
Yeah.
And I can subscribe or unsubscribe. There's no right or no wrong in it at all. No matter which way I go. But in a specific category or a specific topic or whatever it is, this it thing is, I can truly redefine that. And that's what that's the best way that I can describe being woke.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, when I think about woke, well, first from a society standpoint, this is just my judgment of what I think society means by woke. They believe that it's being awoken or being knowledgeable of certain conscious things that happen behind the scenes that affect a lot of people. It's about, you know, being aware of maybe the distasteful things that occur, or the things that might not be, what's the word I'm looking for? Ethical things that kind of happen, you know, in the shadows that affect many people. Oh, go ahead.
So I want to say this just to kind of add to what you're saying. I think it's just a way that to illustrate it based off what society says.
Yeah.
If you say the term Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
right? You recognizing that there's an Illuminati,
yeah,
would consist of you being woke.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, right? Okay. But I just want to add that because I feel like that's what you were defining.
Yeah, no, that is it. And oh, shout out, him. I said, hello, Troy, sir. And what's interesting about Illuminati, y'all know that Cat Williams interview that came out. I don't know if it was that one or another one he said it in, but he was like, if you were truly awoke, you know, to the Illuminati, you would know that the Illuminati really has no power. And even that I want to talk about too, because like you said, being woke in a sense is to realize the true power that you have, the true power that you have to affect so many things. But as to also what you said, we can be woke in so many areas, but not in all areas. And one clue to that is if you're feeling tired, thinking that you woke, but you're still tired, which means you would rather be asleep than awake, which shows that maybe you're not as woke as you think. And I'm not exempt from this in myself. I've had woken moments. I've had sleep moments. I've had both where I wanted to be woke, both when I wanted to be asleep. And I'll say this real quick. I actually remember what I consider my most profound, like, woke moment. It was when I forgave my sleeping state. And I'm not really sure how to put that into words, but I was confused about my identity and who I thought I was. Like, I thought I was my past. I thought I was my pain. I thought I was all of this. And when I let that go, it was scary. It was sad because, okay, who am I without all of this? Who am I without these things that I define myself as? But once I kind of stepped outside of that and got to experience myself without the limitations I put on myself, everything was better. I was happy to be awake. Like, it was, I didn't see anything wrong with this new knowledge. Like, it wasn't like it was a burden. It didn't become a burden on anyone. In fact, it helped light the way to those who will want to one day choose to awaken themselves. But go ahead.
So, and that is literally what I'm saying. My definition of being woke was being able to redefine. And I like the fact that you chose the words. I think you said scared, right? Did you just say scared, yeah, right? And I personally think, and again, this is a part of my wokeness and me realizing that it's only me talking, right? In the fact that I feel like most people are scared. I feel like that, which is the reason why this topic is always a big deal in specific areas. Because the reality of it is, if you strip everything away and you just put somebody naked, people will be afraid to define what they can be in that moment because they feel like you have to have something to draw on. And if you don't, then you're nothing.
Right.
But the reality is, you're everything. And ultimately, I think that's the grandest piece of awareness that anybody could have. And one of the, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I want to read what Himlau said. He said, I think depression is also the main reason for tiredness. And I agree, like that can lead to tiredness. It's kind of that sleep state in a sense. When you're depressed, it's because, this is the funny thing about depression. A lot of depressed people think that they are woke because of all the circumstances that they are now aware of that caused them to be depressed. But it's actually the opposite way. Like those circumstances or burdens that they're aware of are actually making them feel depressed because they're not true. Like, you can rise above those and see things from a higher perspective, a more awakened perspective, and see that, oh, well, I'm worried about this. I can just change my mind about this and the effects of this go with it.
So just to kind of add to that, and again, this is the reason why the dialogue is important, because again, we don't know anything, yet we know everything, right? And when it comes to these people that are depressed, and I look at it as people who have realized limitation. They've realized limitation. Now, it's two things here. You can realize limitation and you can accept it as rule or law. If you accept a limitation, which everything in you tells you, and everything that you've ever read and everything that you see shows you that there's no limitation, right? But you've accepted limitation, and if you cannot break away from that limitation or that belief, it's depressing because you know the truth.
And
so go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I love that you use the word realize, because realize, when you think about it, it's to make real. So when you made limitations real, then there's this effect. But go ahead.
No. And good point. And again, to me, the way to break away from depression is to realize something else, to decide that these limitations that I've given myself are not limitations anymore. They're not real anymore. I'm not held to whatever this standard or this boundary is. I can go beyond it. And then you will see that people who stop being depressed, they will literally say to you, I was able to get over the hump. I was able to break through the door. They were able to, and you might even look at them if you actually can see the whole story, and you can ask yourself, because you don't have that same limitation in your life, and say, but how was that a limitation? How was that a boundary? And so again, when people have made something real to themselves that's not really real, it's a depressing thought. Go ahead, bro.
You said something key that I'm not even sure you realize you said. Well, no, you realized it. But you said if you realize something, you could just realize something else. And I want to break that down. So a lot of times when people want to change their thoughts, they try to negate certain thoughts. And they try to shut down systems. They try to destroy systems. But we are creators, and we are to add. We are to keep adding. Add more of what you want. The less that you don't want, that's just going to fall away, because it's going to get engulfed in the higher end. So, for instance, like let's say there's a corrupt system that people want to take down. People want to destroy. People want to end and kill. The flaw in that is you're believing in killing. You're believing in destruction. You're believing in, since you can't be apart from your reality, you also believe in the effects of that for you. So you can't really truly be yourself, because you feel that you could be stopped, you could be destroyed, you could be limited in any way. So one of the keys is keep adding, but more of what you want. Don't worry about the rest.
So, you know, I think I told you about this before. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they're in a growing season, right? And in their growing season, they were trying to determine who they were. So they looked at this specific realm, and I'm just going to use real estate as an example. And they said to themselves, I'm not a finisher. I'm a starter, but I'm not a finisher, right? Again, this is what I'm talking about when I think about limitations, boundaries. And back to my point about being woke in specific areas and not others. So for me, when I was talking to this person, they got this information or this determination that they had from somebody else that was loving, didn't mean it in any malicious way. They were just trying to help them understand why they're not necessarily finishing in this area. And they told them that they were not finishers. They were more starters. So for me, I said, okay, cool. I think that's a sense of being tired or not realizing the truth. So I told him, I said, okay, well, cool. Let me tell you the truth of the matter. You've done this thing and you finished. You've done this thing and you finished. The thing that I think you should realize is that you are a finisher. You just haven't realized it where we are now. And the moment you, because if you say that you're not, you're realizing something that you cannot overcome. Like, if you say that I'm not a finisher, the opportunity to ever do it in this realm has been shut off until you decide that you are a finisher, or else you'll never get anything done. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And to that, on the flip side of that, I don't think it's a bad thing to be a starter and not necessarily a finisher. And the reason I say that is, endings are final. It's the end. Like, we want to be in a state of being. The state of being has no beginning. It has no end. Even with movies that we love, we want a sequel. We want a part two. We want them to try again to bring us that magic. We don't want anything to end. And by being in that state of creation, in a sense, of starting, everything is possible. Everything is possible at that point. And at the end, nothing is possible because it all ended.
So I'm about to jump back on that real quick. And I'm going to say this. Again, the reason why I said what I said to her is because I wanted her to realize the truth. And for you, you know, I like when you're talking about being in opposition of something or tearing something down in order to live. But the thing that I wanted her to realize is the truth. You cannot not be something if you are everything. It's impossible when you're everything. So I say that to also add to what you were saying about endings. You are infinite. And though there's an ending to this specific thing, doesn't mean something new can't be created, which is the reason why you have sequels and whatever the third ones are called and so on, because creation is never ending. And that's why, number one, I get the point of not, and I think that's the realizing of it, not deeming something bad at all. Like, an ending is not a bad thing. It's an opportunity for a new thing or growth. And the reality of it is, you are a finisher because you are all things. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And even with that, let me put it like this. The reason people may not finish things, and that's why it's good to be real with yourself, is because one, they just lost interest. But that could also be because they judged it in a negative way. But sometimes, because I'm still amazed, like I've really been in this space this year. This has been my intention, to be in the space of following my highest joy, no matter what it looks like in any moment. And I can honestly say I'm making progress on everything. Even when it looks like I'm putting this thing down that I really wanted to finish, but my joy has gone with something else more in favor of this, and I follow that, I'm amazed how stuff still gets done for the thing that I seemingly put aside. And I can't even explain how it happens. I don't even understand how it happens, but I'm grateful for it. So when I do come back to it, I can continue, not even where I left off, but further than when I had left off.
So I'm finna give you some more. And what I'm thinking is, like, and this is what I feel like I've witnessed, and I could have just interpreted it the way that I'm saying it. But I think that a lot of times people are not finishers, including myself, is because you've judged something, right? The thing that I see people judge something as more often than not is judging something as hard, or judging something as work, and judging work as something that you don't want to do. And so when you do those things, it's easy to not finish something that you've deemed hard or something that you just don't want to do. You know, funny thing is, I was talking to Charnay last night, which is my wife, everybody that's listening, and we kind of had somewhat of this conversation a little bit. And we were talking about music, and we were talking about, she's a party planner. And she literally, the words that came out of her mouth was, yeah, I was listening to these, I was looking at these other party planners, and they were talking about how they loved doing it with their creative space. It was something that they just loved, and they could do it all the time until it became a job, until it became work. And from the time it became work, it became hard. And from the time, and they didn't want to do it no more. And the funny thing that I thought about when she was saying it was, I remember when me and you first started creating music. And then I also remember when we started creating music for everybody, and I started saying, dang, this is a lot. Dang, this is hard. I didn't not want to do music anymore, but I also didn't always have the energy at the time to complete stuff because I deemed it hard, which in the reality of it is, it was never hard. But I said that. I never thought of music as work until I said that. And when I started doing those things, I am a finisher, number one. I started not finishing things. And so there's a distinct difference in what I said, and that's why I try to, you know, give people the truth regardless of the actions, and that's a part of being woke, because now you have the opportunity to change or create something new. Go ahead, Jay.
And about being woke, even with this, like to the point you said that we are everything. So with we are everything or all things, and even when we deem something hard, it makes it harder to finish. We also enjoy hard things as well.
Yes.
Not in that way, but like it's a challenge. It's like if somebody brought me a song prompt and said, man, I bet you can't make a hit song off of this. I'm like, I can. Like, it's something about it that I would light up. Like, I know how difficult it can seem, but I'm excited to do this seemingly difficult thing. And in this instance, I guess I'm not judging it difficult, but I'm not judging it easy either. But I'm enthused to do it. Or especially if somebody wants to feature me on the song and their verse is like top tier verses, it's like, oh yeah, I'm loving the challenge and the pressure that's put on me to deliver for this song. So it's funny how in some instances this hard thing can be a hard thing, but in others it can be a very empowering thing.
So I'm gonna tell you what I loved about what you said was, you said, I'm not judging it as hard. And then you said, but I'm also not judging it as easy. And what that tells me is you're not judging it at all. Yeah. So because you're not judging anything, you're open to what, however it comes, right? And the funny thing about this is, I don't know if this is you, and I don't even know if you know when you're not judging something as hard. Like, it's apparent. You kind of just can realize it. But do you recognize when you are judging something as easy? And I'm talking about when it pertains to music. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Because the one thing that I would tell you for myself is sometimes I've listened to something and I've judged it as hard and it was difficult for me to write. But there are sometimes when I did not judge it at all, and I just went, I was like, oh man. And I would have said it was easy after the fact.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's just a thought, but go ahead.
What's interesting about that too is you're right. Like, it's like no judgment is the way. Because even there are things that I've judged as easy. And whenever I do that, I don't do them. I don't finish. Yeah. I don't, if it's easy, it's because it's so easy that it's not worth my time. Like, somebody else could do it. Give this to somebody else. Like, let's delegate this because it's too easy. Not to say that I want challenges throughout my life, because there are some things that I do appreciate that ease. But with something like music in particular, like I love that challenge of it. It's just something about the whole process that's just pretty cool.
And I think, right, so the outcome. And I think that kind of determines it. Like, and that's why it's the cool part about anything that's challenging. I'm saying, and I'm actually defining, the word that I chose is more of a victorious type of sentiment than judging something as being hard. Because if I say that I'm up for the challenge, I'm essentially saying I want the challenge. I'm essentially saying that I want to be able to feel what this feels like when I get to the end. That's how I take it. And in that, I feel like I will be victorious in whatever my internal goal is. And I think that is even more, like, that's so much different than judging something as hard, right? And or defining something as hard. And I think that is one of those things for myself, which this doesn't apply to everybody, like, but that's a sense of my own wokeness in order for me to navigate and be able to rewrite my being infinite in this moment and being able to write whatever I want to write. This is how I want to feel, and this is what I'm going to do to feel this way. It has nothing to do with my past or what I've done in the past. It's just about right now, if I take on this challenge, I can create a whole new version of myself and feel this type of way. Go ahead, Jay.
Right. And I love that, because that's essentially what woke is, like being aware of your awareness, like being aware of all the definitions you're putting in place and seeing that you can also apply those into other ways. Because now this is eye-opening for me. I'm waking up to this idea that, yeah, I do determine what's easy, hard, or don't determine it at all. And it does affect how I move forward with certain things. And let's say even in music, right? Let's say something like marketing and promotions. That's a different mindset than the creation of the songs. And it can be very easy for a musician to deem that as hard. And that can stop people from doing things. But being awoken to this idea, you can apply that same principle to everything. You can say that, this is something I can do, or this is something where I can attract someone that will do this on my behalf for me, that will delight in it. Like it's so much that we can do from our own state of mind that affects our being, that affects our actions. And are we allowing ourselves to be awoke enough to make this happen and not blame systems and other people and other things for how we feel?
So I'm gonna tell you what's dope about this actual example that you gave. From the artist standpoint to the marketing, the stark difference that there is, and how when you're doing one, you making the transition to say that you can do the other, or finding someone, and all of these different things, because you haven't given yourself an opportunity to create what that looks like for you. You're assuming all the other things, not you, I'm talking about us.
Right.
And now you're bound by all these limitations that you put around this thing, right? Now, this is the funny part. And this is kind of going back to the point of my friend saying they're not a finisher. And for us, using us as the example, there have been times, shouts out to everybody that's ever worked for us, worked with us, been a part of our team, helped us to accomplish specific goals. But there are times when we were not financially able to have a marketer, or financially able to have a promoter, or financially able to have these things that we deemed important for us to have. And we also knew that because we didn't have these things, even if we got them, we were not going to be able to pay them until X, Y, and Z happened, right? Now, I'm just showing you all the definitions that we created within this thing. We said we were going to get it. So what ended up happening is, without any, for me, determining something is going to be hard, we went and found people that would do these things. Not only that, we went also and got these people to do these things for free for long periods of time. Now, when I think about being specific and crafting out what it really could look like, how far did the parameters really go? How far did I really believe that I could take that? I mean, when I started to think about the person that we really wanted to do the job, I also put a number to that. Well, if I had this person, it has to be this. And then now I got to figure out, how can I make that happen? Because that's hard. And so when I think about me dictating that the person that was free was not top notch, it's just all of these different things that fall into play. And it just goes to show, had I been woke and allowed my steps to follow my belief in the creation of what's real in front of me right now. Hey, Jay.
Yeah, because how you do anything is how you do everything. And it's so true. Like, it's beautiful and not so beautiful when you have the moment where you're not giving it everything that you would normally want to. Like, when you have that realization in the moment, it's like, dang, you're right. This is not how I want to do things. This is not how I want to behave in my day to day, or even in any moment. And so it's beautiful in the fact that you get to realize it, and you get to awaken it and start applying this right away. But again, that can be hard on the ego, put it like that. Well, go ahead.
No. I was going to read what Him Lao said. It says, you guys give so much motivation, but I'm surprised not so many people are watching. And this is what I would say to this, so that way we can say what's real.
Yeah.
We don't know how many people are watching. We don't know how far it goes, but it doesn't mean the people that need to see it are not seeing it. So shouts out to you for being here.
Yeah.
Because that's all we ever needed, period. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I love that, and I love the answer you gave. And I also say too, like, the reason we've been able to do this for so long, because again, this is our fourth season. This is episode, I think, 31, and we do like 50 episodes a season. That's crazy. But it's because we get so much out of this. And because we get so much out of this, like, we know that others could be too when they're ready. And it's one of those things too, like, we can't go around waking other people up, because that fosters anger, that fosters fear, that fosters a lot of things. So it's just, we can just be here when people do wake up. But in doing that, it helps us awaken even more as well and be more awakened in so many ways. Go ahead.
So no. I love that you said that, because the reality for me is I would love to be awakened in every aspect of my life. And the best part, the best way, and I'm judging it because there's a sense of joy in me doing this. So the best way for me to do it is to be here every week, because I have an opportunity every week to wake myself up and see something that I have decided to forget or overlook. Another part of this, and I've said this too, love you too, fam. Another part to this is I have two sons, and along this beautiful journey that me and you have been on, that's why I say we don't know who's listening, because I can't see what's happening in the future tense right now.
Yeah.
But tomorrow somebody's watching this. And one of the people that I hope that's watching this tomorrow are my kids. So I'm leaving a blueprint for them to realize the truth that I'm always here, that I'll always be here, and they'll always be all things and all knowing, as long as they decide to realize that. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I love that. And it's true, because just I love the idea of even being awoken to that we all fit perfectly in a perfect puzzle. Everybody, every interaction, every conversation ever affects another. Like, there are so many people that I silently support that they probably would never know that I'm watching. They probably would never know. And it's not intentional. It's just how things are. But I love what you said. Like, you're leaving this to help your sons. But not only that, I know you're doing this to help so many other people, but again, ourselves too, which I think is the key piece that allows people to keep doing something and become finishers, in a sense, is you got to have that love. You got to have that joy for what you're doing, because if you're not, it will become a job. It will become a job fast. And man, even when something that you love, like the example you gave, becomes a job, because music has become a job in some instances, whenever that occurs, I hate it. And it's like the key is find a way to not make it a job. Like, keep that love in there, keep that joy in there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And again, I also kind of reiterate that I don't know what anyone is doing tomorrow. A lot of times, when things don't look the way that we deem them to look in this very moment, you can change your mind and decide that this is now a job that I have to accomplish. And so if I'm trying to now make people watch me, I'm no longer doing what I was intending to do in the first place. The only thing that I need to do is lay what I want to lay, because tomorrow is already happening. And tomorrow and the next day, this never goes away. So I just trust that me pouring out my heart and also taking the time to recognize, be aware, and wake myself up, that I in turn help somebody else do the same thing. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, one cool thing too about just the mind. Let me read what Loretta said. Do what you love and the rest will follow. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and yes. But one cool thing about the mind is, we define everything. We define this reality. So I do have a song coming up about like numbers and just how numbers can affect our world, because we're caught up in the numbers. We're looking at like who's watching, how many likes, how much, what's the number in my bank account, what's the number on my scale, you know, what's like all these numbers. And we've defined numbers where, I mean, we've defined things where only some of these numbers are good in certain instances, but because we defined it, we can always redefine everything. We can make every number, every iteration, every anything as good as we want it. And when we stay awoken to that fact as well, like it this world can be a paradise. Like we live in a world where you can do anything you want, you can be anything you want, you can experience anything you want, whether reality agrees with it or not, like just in your own mind. And to me, that's heaven.
I agree 100%. And I love the fact that you point out the way we define numbers. And again, just not to be so pointed about it, being like, you're not supposed to know what this moment looks like. You like you're literally making this moment happen right now. Where it goes, you have to kind of witness. And so that's the reason why doing what you love is so important. It makes everything easy. And if it's real, which it is real, numbers will magically appear. It's just kind of how that thing goes, if you believe that. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And I went down a rabbit hole when you were talking, and then I lost my train of thought. But I just love how the mind works, period. And I just love how we get to be a remembrance to each other. Oh, I remember now, because you said we don't know how the world is supposed to look. We get to observe it. We get to witness it. And the only way we can do that is by being, in a sense, detached from it. By being detached, like, you become observers. And it's not to say be, I don't know, like, unemotional or anything. It's just that you're just like, huh, that's interesting. That's, you know, without putting a judgment. Interesting could be a judgment, but you just... I just wanted to give it words to what it looks like to not really judge and just observe something, because the world can get very mundane if you let it. You can seem like, I go to the same job every day. I see the same people every day. It's the same boring day over and over, but each moment is unique. Each moment is its own thing, but you can only notice that if you kind of detach from it in a way and take an observer's view of it, a bird's eye view from the particular moment. And then you can see all the cool things that are happening to make this moment be what it is.
And I would also, even in that, I would tell you to like recognize that you're actually like, you are the main part of this moment. That's why the numbers can't matter. You know what I mean? Like, if you're the main character in this moment, it's one thing to detach yourself to recognize what's really going on. But you got to also understand that you're a big component to the creation of it all. Like, none of the stuff around you is getting created if you're not here right now. Maybe for somebody else, but if you allow reality to serve like it's, I feel like it's supposed to, like, you're creating and observing at the same time, because your creation is affecting everything that you're observing right all around you. Like, and you're the main catalyst of what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, you got to realize that, like, my kids, as an example, me getting up and walking around the house is creation. It just is. The reason why, if you're a parent, you can recognize that, because after a certain amount of time, you will see your kids walking like you. Like, and I'm not talking about just getting up and walking. Your entire swagger, they will take on, like the dip you got, the lean you got. And it's because as you're walking, you're creating a reality of, this is how we do this. And they're consistently observing all day, every day, every movement you make. Now, on the flip side of it, what kids are creating is who they are, and I'm witnessing it all while I'm creating at the same time as well. And I talk a certain way to my kids because they talk a certain way. I interact with my kids a certain way because they act a certain way. And this is all because of what they're creating for their own world. And so, like, you're an observer, but you are the main part of the play. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and for those that want to try it, I would say just make up a word and say it often. It's really? Just like, like have a good word for great or awesome or excited. Just make up a word and just start saying it on a regular basis. And look how easily it will start to catch on to everybody. Because at first they're going to look at you like, what is that? That's crazy. That's stupid. But then if you just keep at it and you don't even give it that much attention, you just say it like it's natural, like it's part of you, people will start to say it. And it's a cool thing to witness.
No, I love that example, because that's what I mean. That is exactly what I mean. The funny thing is, one of the things that I love to hear my son say, because it's not even a part of their lingo. They're too young.
Yeah.
But I love when he say, oh, that's tight. And I know that is literally about the creation of me and him observing it and taking it on. Now, on the flip side, we say stuff like, oh, that's cap. Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a part of our lingo.
Right.
But it is.
Yeah.
And so that's the beautiful interchange of being a creator versus an observer. But the reality of it is, you cannot think that your creation is ever stopping, because everything that you're doing, even if you decide to never move, you know, if a person and you could just look at the many examples. Somebody can lay in the bed and never give up. I mean, and never get up. And the immediate people around them that are observing them, there are a lot of things that happen. Some people around them will start to inherit that and say, I'm going to lay down and never get up. Some people around them are going to start to move more to like you're creating what it looks like. And you get the people that I feel like are woke are deciding. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and I want to give an example using that's cap, because I think that's an example of miscreating, you know, and some woke people might be saying it, because again, to say that's cap is to say that, you know, somebody's lying, somebody, like you're denying someone else. And again, everything is total. You can't separate yourself from your reality. So if you're denying someone else, you're saying, I can live in a world where I too can be denied. And if I can be denied, then it's nothing is at, like, I don't have any creative control over my reality. My reality is at the whims of whoever I have given power to deny me. And I know that sounds like a stretch, but it's not. Like, how you do anything is how you do everything. And we should be mindful of even like silly sayings. It's not a silly saying, but we should be mindful of the sayings that people say and that people choose to say, because it might not be in our best interest, which is why, like, I've never said that's cap until this episode, just because I was like, nah, I'm not saying that. But even though it's very apparent now in reality.
Well, this right. Of reality. And see, that's the cool part about it, though. You know what I mean? So number one, that's awareness and being woke for you, understanding what the words translate to and what they can mean and how they can define where you're going. Because now you're talking about the limitations that you can put within yourself, no matter what anybody else is saying. And it's the same thing for me using that's tight to my kids, how I define that and what I know that's going to potentially mean to them. But again, that's why you looking at yourself as the main character is truly important. And when you watch a movie, we all develop our own thought process of what the main, how cool the main character is, how much and how far they can go, even though the main character doesn't even know any of this. We even have alternate opinions about what we see sometimes, because the main character should have did it this way. And the beauty of it is, if you look at yourself as the main character, you can be that which you have defined for the main character in the movie. And so therefore your creation, what you're creating, will reflect you in ways that will be the most beneficial to you. Like you said, being in heaven, like you can make this thing, whatever you want to. And again, that's to me, when you stop being tired and start putting the focus on the detail, like you said, using Cap as the example, like for you to, and I don't want to say be resistant, but understand the defining of that for yourself and what limitation that gives you is a part of not being tired. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, something cool came to mind when you said that about like a movie. And I got to think like, okay, could I watch my own movie while it's happening? Will it be interesting? And coincidentally enough, a couple of days ago, I was watching a movie and, you know, sometimes movies will show someone brushing their teeth. They will show someone putting on clothes or taking a shower, getting ready. And I thought to myself, like, what purpose does this scene hold? Because it doesn't do much for the story, but it allows you to connect with the character and see the character as a real person. Like they do things that I do, that I do. And so I said it to say it, like, if you're watching your own movie, you might want to skip to the good part, but those not so exciting parts are purposeful as well. Like it draws you in, but this just has me wondering, like, I want to do the experiment now on myself to see how much I can just stay observing my movie without even stepping into the main role. Like you have to do both, but I mean, just, I don't always take that observer's view. I do it sometimes, and I would like to do it more time. So appreciate it.
So I'm gonna tell you something, right? And I know exactly what you mean by being able to see it from that different perspective. See, for me, it's easier because my observing, I get to see myself in my kids. Yeah. So it's apparent what I'm doing. Even for things that, right, real talk, that's tight. But even for things that I would hold a negative judgment on for myself, because I haven't figured out how to get out of it yet, the way that I'm able to figure it out sometimes is because I see my kids do it. And then the realization comes back to me. And I say, dang, I didn't realize that. But now I realize it, and now I can take an active opportunity to start to change that dynamic in myself, which eventually, like, I don't just go to them and be like, you need to do this way. I just start to do the things so that way I can see that reflection of myself. And that's the beauty of always recognizing that you're always creating, because some of the things that they take on, I never looked at as creation because I never looked at it like that until I saw it back and I realized that they did not create it because I saw myself immediately. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that. Like, all relationship dynamics are reflections. Like we get to see ourselves in other people. And again, we don't realize it. We like to blame them. We like to judge them and everything. Like, this is how I would do it. But no, they, like you said, they're showing you what you would do in a sense. And when you see what you would do and you're like, why am I doing that? I shouldn't be doing that. Then like that's the miracle in it. Like, we show each other how to be better ourselves if we will allow it. And it doesn't mean we have to chastise anybody for showing this to us. We can just accept the blessing that it truly is.
Be woke, recognize, and be aware. And again, I can simply not see. Now we're talking about the observer again. I can simply not see what my kids are doing, and I can judge it as being bad and not recognize it in myself. I can literally just be like, I don't know why they do that. I don't know why it's like this, and not see myself. And then to me, that's where you get separation. And I use my kids, but now if I go to somebody that's in my family that I'm not close to, because I've said I don't want to be associated, I guess, in a sense, I've separated myself because I don't want to be an owner of what I've given off. Right? I can't separate myself from my kids. So I witness it, and I have to be accountable for it, because if I don't, then I can never change. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Himlau said, love the beard, Jay, sir.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I love that you said that about you have to be accountable for it, because I've got to witness it even recently in a friend that said something that wasn't truly positive to someone else and then told me about it. And you could tell that they felt uneasy about it because it's like no one likes to share something that could lower a vibration. But even if they did, you can't escape it. Like you could try, but again, like you are a part of your reality. You are one with your reality. What you give off, you receive, and there's no real way to escape that. You can be an observer of it where you're not within the karma, but you still see what you're doing and you're like, oh, okay, I need to do this differently next time.
Let me tell you something that happened, bro, when we were out of town. We went to Austin not too long ago. And we were, again, I love my family, fam, because they give me an opportunity to be me. And this is what we're talking about, right? And my son asked me, he was like, so dad, like, what if, like, if somebody is saying all of these crazy stuff to you and what if somebody is saying all of this crazy stuff to you and I mean, yeah, how do you just turn the other cheek and, you know, make them stop? And I said, well, let me show you. And I said, I want you to talk crazy to me right now. Talk as crazy as you want to me, right? And we know we're just playing. We're just role playing. And he's like, you're stupid. Da, 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 da. He said all this stuff to me. And then I literally looked at him and I said, man, I love you. You're amazing. And he just stopped, right? And I said, how did that make you feel? And he said, it made me feel sad. Like, for real, right now, dad, I really feel sad that I said that stuff to you. And I was like, that's how this works. Like, when you choose, you and you realize the control, you can take the power. Now, here's the deal. With that person that said all that stuff, why they said it, I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is they know that's not how they feel, because now you feel the way that you feel now because of what I showed you. And so, you know, to me, that's just the best example that I can give, just in a real life situation. And this literally happened. And I asked him about this the other day. And I was like, what do you think about that day when, you know, we did that? He said, it still makes me feel bad now because I don't want you to think that, because I know you love me. And those were the words that I said to him. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I love that. A Course in Miracles, it has a quote that love needs no offense or defense. And I love that because it's kind of that right there. Like, if you just give love to people, it's disarming in a way if you're not matching of that frequency. And yeah. And you start to look at yourself like, man, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I being like this in this moment? This is not how it would be. Like nobody enjoys hurting other people, despite what TV will have you believe, despite what movies and stuff will have you thinking, and video and TikTok clips. Like, nobody like enjoys hurting anybody else, because you get hurt yourself. And the sooner you awaken to that fact and see it and see the direct effects it's having on you, you will change almost immediately. And I say almost because, you know, you might still have the habit of certain things, but observing is the way to start to break the cycle of the habits.
The funny thing, I know we're finna go, but the funny thing I always think about is, there are some, there's this laugh that people put behind all of these videos. And it's the same laugh. It's this person like laughing hysterically, right? And the reason why I point that out is because we all love joy, no matter what. Like, we are like, and no matter how hard you try not to laugh, when certain things happen, if somebody's laughing so hard, it'll suck you in. And to me, that's an ultimate test or example of how we love to feel that, in that excitement, that love, that joy, even laughter, right? Yeah. And so, you know, it's just something to think about, you know, I guess at the end of the day, and start to realize that this is a process, man. And the biggest part of the process is your awareness. I feel like you looking at yourself, you know, it's kind of what we always go back to. And recognizing that you are all things. And Jay, you know, I'll let you go ahead and get us a batter because I know we ran up on it.
We got a few seconds left, but real quick, stay in that energetic state of awareness where you know that you are woke. And if you do feel tired in any way, both physically and non-physically, like, that there may be an opportunity to reawaken just to who you really are. Again, check out our Patreon, show us some love. Fast with us tomorrow if you want to fast. And remember, you're a perfect creation made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode. Appreciate y'all.
If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real, so let's be perfect.
Perfect!
Everything.